Welcome to Landmark Ministries. Thank you for joining us today as we prepare our hearts for yet another in-depth look into the Word of God. We hope this message gives you encouragement and brings you closer to the power of Jesus. We're so glad you're here today. God is calling your name. We've been studying through the Bible book by book, learning more and more about God's love and plan for us. Thanks again for being here. Enjoy today's message.
So hello again, church family. Hey, it's good to see your faces. It's good to be with you week after week. This is a really good opportunity for us to move beyond mere acquaintances. We're in week two of our four-week mini-series on intergenerational community. We're focusing on what the benefits are for having each age and stage with us. And questions like, well, you know, why is it good for our community to have children with us? What benefit do adults bring to our community? What benefit do old age, old folks, blessed, I heard last week, curmudgeons, I heard this week. What do you all bring, the benefits? And then finally, what benefit do those at the end of life bring to our community? Last week, we counted some of the benefits of having our children with us in our community, and the rewards are enormous. Three takeaways from last week, if you missed them. One, children let us catch a glimpse of God's character and how He parents each one of us in loving kindness and gracious patience. Another one, children remind us that we need to come to God in humility as His needy and vulnerable and curious kids. And three, children showcase that every single person, no matter how different they seem to be from us, everyone, bears God's image. So we are to treat others with honor and dignity. This week, we're focusing on adults and the benefit that they bring to our intergenerational community. And for this, kind of like last week, we will be anchored in Psalm 23, if you want to turn your Bibles or get your phone app going. You can turn there if you want. And if you're planning on memorizing this with me, you can say it out loud with me if you want to join with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Well, that was it. You guys can take off. That was wonderful, wasn't it? It's so rich. It's almost kind of tempting. Like, you can just sit with that all day. Last week, we spent time in verses 1 through 3. And for our focus is on adults this week, we're going to spend it in just one verse. Just one. Verse 4. Psalm 23 might be the most famous psalm of all time, and rightly so. As we are realizing, this psalm covers an entirety of our human lives and experiences. It speaks into our lives truth and reality and ultimately comfort. Psalm 23 speaks of a God who is always with us from beginning to end, a God who meets us at every stage of our lives and treats us with honor and dignity, a God who treats us like His children, made in His image. And verse 4 is at the center of the psalm. If Psalm 23 was a book, it would fold right at this halfway point in verse 4. And that's no coincidence. Verse 4 is also the center of the poem, the central idea, the most important point of the psalm, if you will. And if you want to track with what I'm talking about, look on your phone, look on your Bible, the physical Bible. You'll see two major visual breakpoints in the psalm, and this is on purpose. There's a break. There's kind of this like half-enter space in between verses 3 and 4. And then again, in between verses 4 and 5. And we'll get to the importance of that in a little bit. So let's cozy up. Let's get into verse 4 and find out what it has to tell us about why adults are so beneficial to our intergenerational community. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Boy, one verse. It sure takes a lot of lines on the page, doesn't it? It's kind of like the writer wants to slow us down, the reader, slow us down. And so we get to take a look at it together. And we'll just kind of, you know, bit by bit. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's in some songs, if you remember. I won't go into, there's probably several songs that one gets attributed to. But welcome to adulthood, right? Welcome to adulthood. What happened to all that nice stuff? The God is my shepherd and he takes care of us and he lays me down in green pastures and I get still waters and he restores me. Like that's my, I like that part. Adulthood doesn't seem like it's any fun. In this psalm, at least. It sounds serious. It sounds scary. It sounds really heavy. And it sounds like if I'm not careful, I could get in some really big trouble in adulthood. And actually, all of that's true, isn't it? If you steal, you know, as a child, if you steal from your neighbor or you get in a physical fight as a kid, you'll get in trouble maybe. Probably get grounded. Maybe have to pay back what you stole, right? But as an adult, if you steal or you get in a fist fight, you could get into legal and financial troubles. You could have a restraining order put on you. You could go to jail. And all this stuff stays with you. It's hard to clear your name and your reputation as an adult. Consequences seem to grow up too, don't they? Your actions matter as an adult in a way that they haven't before. And all of this, there's this weird tension in reality when you throw in our current cultural idea of adolescence. Teenagers, ears, perk up. This is for you. Our adolescent years, this is a term, this term showed up in the literature in the early 1900s, and it gained this kind of academic awareness and acceptance in the 1940s. And adolescence is kind of a foreign concept to our biblical writers, both in the Old Testament and the New, which is why we don't really find it there. But for our purposes this month, we can think of adolescence, these kind of mostly teenage years, as a stage within adulthood. So we're grouping you teenagers, we're grouping you into this. This is where you are. You're being encouraged to act like and to strive to be an adult, but with a blanket of protection so that adult consequences don't hit you. Does that make sense? I don't want to skip over adolescence because it's very familiar to us and to our culture. And so teenagers, this is for you too. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Whatever images and experiences that this shadow, this valley of the shadow of death brings up for you, it's scary, isn't it? It's difficult. Sometimes it's something that you don't desire to go through. This valley of the shadow of death evokes fear. Fear has always been part of our lives. Because there's always been danger and threats to our well-being. In fact, to not feel fear or dread, terror, being scared at the right times, that would be foolish. I worked at the VA hospital listening to Vietnam vets share some of their stories overseas and helping them process and cope with parts of their lives. Were they afraid when they experienced the dangers and the violence and the horrors of war? You bet. There is much in this life where fear is the appropriate response. Nowadays, I work with folks who are close to dying. I listen to their stories, and they've got fear of dying, fear of the unknown, fear of suffering, of pain, and a million other things, and it's common. And as I listen to my people's stories and experiences of fears, I find myself asking some questions. In fact, the same questions. How do you cope with your fears? How do you manage to keep going on through in the midst of all of these fears? What's your secret? And in our conversation, if tears haven't come yet in their eyes, this question usually brings that up. And so I'll ask you the same question. How do you get through your valley of the shadow of death? How do you cope with an unfair and a brutal world that kicks you when you're down? I mean, suffering is a universal reality for people everywhere. And the not-so-secret hint is especially for God's people. How do you keep going when the evils of this world chase you down, grab a hold of you, and drag you through the mud of trauma? Or when the good life that you've worked so hard for gets swept away like a sandcastle on the shoreline? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What was that? You'll fear no evil? How is that possible? And now we come to the heart of this psalm. The heart of our mini series. We come to the heart of life itself. For you are with me. God, you are with me. Once I hear my Vietnam vets tell me this, once I hear my hospice folks tell me that God is with them, I know that most of my job is already done. When I hear, you know, Tim, God is with me, I sigh. Okay. And usually it's God is with me, Tim, I'm going to be all right. And this doesn't mean that everything's all better, that from here on out it's going to be all rose petals and ice cream. Although that would be nice, wouldn't it? But when God is with you, you're in his arms. Evil and the brokenness of the world, it does not have the final word. When God is with you, you can endure. You can make it. You can thrive. You can flourish. You can have peace and joy. When God is with you, you are resilient. And maybe you picked up on this. But in this psalm, verse 4, is the first time the writer directly speaks to God. Let's look up. And you'll see in verse 1, the Lord, we're switching kind of the audience, right? The who you're talking to. The Lord, he makes, he restores, he leads. But now, you are with me. your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The audience has changed. Now the writer is speaking to God himself, and this is huge. In fact, this is kind of the key to a flourishing life, my friends. Not only is God with you, but you can address him directly. Gone are the days of being passively directed by God and his creation. That time of childhood has passed. You're an adult now. Now, just like the consequences of your actions have grown up and gotten bigger, so God's invitation to partner with him has grown up too. No more Tonka trucks, there we go. No more Hot Wheels, no more baby dolls. Those are merely shadows of what God has in store for you. Now, as an adult, God gives you more responsibility, more power, more say over how you want to join him and bring more heaven to earth. Your voice counts. You get a say. And as he gives you more, he also creates space in your relationship with him to pursue him. Adults, you are now ready to pursue God, to contribute to the relationship that you have with him. You are ready to take an active role in the relationship that you have with him and his people. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The adult can now say, I notice you. I see your activity in my life a little bit more. I can respond now to your presence in my life in ways that I previously didn't even see. And here's the beautiful and very hard truth. God desires you to partner with him to bring more of heaven to earth, yes. But God also wants you to partner with him to bring more of heaven into yourself. Yikes, Tim. That sounds like a lot of hard work there. Adulthood. This is a lot of hard work. I know it is, church family. Pretty much all of the world's wisdom literature leans into this reality that the road to maturity is, first and foremost, to work on thyself. Verse 4 is an invitation to let the light of truth, God's reality, to shine forth into the cracks and the crevices of your soul, to be courageous and to let God begin to speak words of healing into your life. You want to talk about walking through the valley of the shadow of death? So often God reveals parts of ourselves that we don't like, that we're not all that proud of. And this is where shame loves to hide and grow. These are the parts of you and of me where we feel the most alone, the most rejected, the most isolated. And so often God gently shows us the mask that we wear to fool everybody, to fool ourselves, that we use to shield ourselves from the pain and the shame and all the things that we don't want. Kind of create a fake self sometimes. To partner with God as he meddles in your soul, that's terrifying. To allow God into those tender places of your history, of your pain, of your fears, of your experiences, that takes a great act of bravery. But the psalmist writes, you are with me. God is with you. He knows you through and through. Do you remember? He makes you lie down in green pastures. He leads you beside still waters. Do you remember? He restores your soul. He leads you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, because you're his kid. Do you remember? Friends, God seems to require our participation in our own healing and restoration. He does not simply want to heal you. He wants to share in the victory of the transformed life that he's actively working in you. This is a double victory for God and for us. Man, is he generous. What better way to swallow up sin and death, and what better way to heal trauma and to restore our brokenness than to make us part of the solution? As we partner with God, as we participate in God's work in the world and in our own lives, the more that his tools, his rod and his staff, his tools of protecting against evil and guiding life onward, his rod, his staff, the more we participate, those become more comforting to us. What benefit do adults bring to our intergenerational community? Those in the stage of adulthood, they showcase. They showcase the ongoing restorative work of our Heavenly Father in each of our lives and in the world. Where children benefited our intergenerational community by keeping us humble in a receptive posture towards God, adults benefit all of us by actively grasping onto both parts of God's restorative work in creation, both the external and the internal. Boy, what a tension, right? Who had their arms stretched out in perfect love? Where might God be inviting you to partner with him in this world, in yourself? Don't be surprised. Oh, this hit me like a freight train. Don't be surprised when you find that God tends to weave both of those answers together. Where might God be inviting you to partner in this world? Where might he be inviting you to partner with him in yourself? There's a lot of overlaps. So be comforted by this even. For God knows you through and through. He loves and he delights in you. And what also brings me peace, and I hope it brings you peace and comfort, is that this church family, those around you, those sitting next to you, God has placed in your life, in my life, to partner with us and God. Oh man, this is now like a group effort thing going on here, to bring more healing and restoration to the world and to you. Would you pray with me? So, Heavenly Father, we are your children, and we're finding out how you continue to parent adult children. The stakes are raised because the work is heavier. And there's a lot of life that bangs us around, and as an adult, we're no spring chickens anymore. We have a lot of experiences and a lot of pain, a lot of hardship, but you are with us. You invite us into the good work of bringing more heaven to earth, and you give us not toys, you give us the real stuff. It's a very sobering, it's a very humbling gift that you've given us. So help us, Lord, to partner with you in the areas and in the activities that you would want us to do in the world and in ourselves. We thank you, Lord. Amen.